Hello, dear friends and fellow Bible students. I hope you have your Bible with you today as we study from Genesis 4 and other passages. We're going to be studying the question that Cain asked in Genesis 4, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's the question we're going to look at today. Now, first of all, let us read the account in Genesis 4. There's some interesting details here that we're going to point out. Verse 1 says, And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." This is the first man, the first woman. They are the first husband and the first wife, Adam and Eve. And now they're becoming the first father and mother in all of the world. And their first child that was born is called Cain. And Eve said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So one was a herdsman and the other was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now this is the first case of worship recorded in the Bible. And as you can see, Cain brought something he had grown. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So it was the first recorded sacrifices, but also it's the first recorded change of worship. And it's happened many times since then. Many, many people have changed the worship that God has ordained. And God does not have respect for worship that has been changed, as we see in this case. Well, God saw the countenance of Cain had fallen, and he was very angry. So God did what a parent should do. He went and talked to Cain. God is the ultimate father. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen?" Notice the question. When parents talk to their children and they're doing something wrong, what do you talk about? Well, you ask them about their behavior. And so that's what he did. God asked him about his behavior. Why are you wroth? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? God goes on to say to Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? I've accepted Abel. Won't I accept you if you obey? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Sin's waiting to get into your life, Cain, and you need to rule over the sin. So God talked to the disobedient Cain, and you would think that Cain would immediately do better. God talked to him. God reasoned with him about obedience. You would think that Cain would improve his attitude and his behavior, but that did not happen. Even God doesn't override our free moral agency. Because notice in the next verse, Genesis 4 and verse 8, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." This is the first act of a crime. And it was over envy and hate. There was murder, a crime of taking human life. Now, think about this. They didn't live in a bad neighborhood. They didn't have evil friends. Evil friends corrupt good morals. They didn't have bad and wicked movies to watch or music to listen to, or they didn't attend a bad school or didn't live in a bad neighborhood. They didn't have bad parents. They both had the same parents. They both had the same God. They both had the same religious practices. And yet one of the sons turned out good, and the other son turned out evil. And so God talked to Cain once, then he comes back and talks to him again. And notice verse 9 of Genesis 4. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now God knew where he was. God knows everything. So why did he ask the question? To cause him to think about what he had done. He did the same thing with Adam and Eve. When they had eaten the forbidden fruit in Genesis chapter 3, God called unto them, and God said in verse 9, where art thou? Well, God knew where they were, but he's trying to get them to think about what they're doing. And in that case, in Genesis 3, Adam said, I heard the voice in thy garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Well, God already knew that. But God's trying to get him to think about what he has done. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? So God asked questions. A good parent, and that's who God is, God's a good heavenly father, will ask misbehaving children questions. God spoke to Cain, but it did not change his bad attitude. We do not need to blame our parents when we misbehave and do something wrong. We do not need to blame God. We do not need to blame our friends. It's a choice that we make. We make the choices. He killed his brother because he chose to kill his brother. And when he said, where is Abel thy brother? Notice what Cain said. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse number 9. What am I supposed to do? Watch him all the time? How sarcastic. How cruel. He had killed his brother. His brother is dead, laying in a field somewhere, laying in some bushes or behind a rock. Think about what you've done. Adam and Eve were evasive when God asked them. And Cain, he lied. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He lied to God, and he shunned the responsibility of his actions. Cain had a hard heart. He had a cruel heart. He knew Abel was dead. He lied to God. It's like, I don't care where my brother is. His attitude was bad. His brother was dead. He didn't care about his brother. He should have cared about his brother, but he didn't, even after he had killed him. Now Jesus says something, a brother kills a brother. How sad that was for Cain, for Adam and Eve. How sad. Adam and Eve had to lose two sons. They lost one to death, and they lost one to sin. And Cain was not sorry because he had killed his brother. Cain was dead inside. His spiritual man was dead. But I think it's interesting what Jesus would say 4,000 years later in Matthew 10 and verse 36. He says, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. You think about that. Joseph's enemies were in his own household. Job's enemy, his wife, was in his own household. She was working with the devil when she said, curse God and die. That's what the devil wanted him to do. Just think about how your enemies are in your own household. Isn't that amazing? But Cain was punished, was he not? And verse 10, he said, what thou hast done, Genesis 4 and 10, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And so then God says his punishment. A good parent will speak to their children, but then a good parent will also have some punishment. Cain's punishment was he had to leave his family. He had to go out and be a vagabond. Verse 11, and now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He didn't say anything about, I'm sorry that I killed my brother Abel. I'm sorry that I put pain and anguish on my mother and father for killing my own brother and to have a death in the family. No, it's all about him. He is selfish. He's all about himself, and that's why he killed his brother Abel. Sin is always about ourselves. Sin wants our way over God's way. My sin, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's what people say who kill someone and they're put in prison for life. They'll never get out. Their punishment is greater. Well, the evildoer doesn't get to set his own punishment. God sets his punishment. And God says our punishment for sin is an eternity in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, then we have to accept that. That's it. That's our punishment for sin, is a lake of fire and brimstone. We'll be separated from good people for the rest of our lives. And so why did he do that? Well, it was all about himself. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's where Cain was. He was all about himself. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's not of the Father, it is of the world. And that's why Cain was driven out from his mother and his father. And he didn't like that. He was about the pride of life. He was about me, me, me. We live in a world where people focus on self instead of trying to help others. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer to that is, absolutely you are your brother's keeper. Yes, yes, you are your brother's keeper. And that's what the Bible actually teaches. We're going to cover some verses about being our brother's keeper now. We've talked about Cain and his question, am I my brother's keeper? We talked about God's dealing with him. God spoke to him and tried to reason with him. Spoke to him on two occasions. And still Cain did not correct his error, his attitude. Then he was punished. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. I am too. And we want to talk about that right now. In Matthew chapter 22, the Bible says this, beginning in verse number 27. Well, let's include verse 36. A man said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. Now, to love your neighbor as yourself is to seek to do good to them. Beloved, we all have the same ancestry. Did you know that? The Bible says in Genesis 3 and verse number 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she is the mother of all living. We are all brethren through Adam and also through Noah. The only people saved in the destruction of the flood of Noah's day was Noah and his family. Noah had given rise to his three sons, and we are of one of them. And so we're all brethren. We're all brethren in that regard. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We're all descendants of Noah. We are our brother's keeper. But in a spiritual way, we are brethren in a spiritual family. We are of the family of God. And as the family of God, we are related to one another through Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yes, we're our brother's keeper. If someone gets caught up in sin and tangled up in sin, we're to try to help them to untangle that predicament that they've gotten themselves into. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, we're to do it with the right attitude. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we're to help someone in a terrible spiritual condition. Maybe they're in a physical bad condition. We're to help them too, and we want to talk about that. But notice Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we're to help someone out who's overtaken in a fault. We're to bear one another's burdens, one another. And then down in verse 10, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Yes, we're a part of a family. We have spiritual brethren, but we also have physical brethren. We're all of the descendants of Adam and Eve, and we're all descendants, beloved, of Noah. And we're all related through Jesus Christ, as far as Christians are concerned. Now, the Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we are a part of God's house. We're a part of God's family. And that's why we call one another brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're related to one another. God says, I am going to be your father, and you're going to be my sons and my daughters, in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. We are to help one another out. And while we're here in this part of the Bible, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and begin reading with verse number 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, watch this now, Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. And so we are to be interested in everyone else and trying to help everyone else out. And that's the examples that we have of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized, it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, that's spiritual activities. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. Watch this. And had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Yes, they were their brother's keepers. Verse 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were there, helping one another. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. God has made it very plain we're to have great love and concern and care for our brethren and for our fellow man. And certainly that is demonstrated in the story that Jesus tells about the Samaritan helping the Jewish man, the good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, they were like Cain. They were uncaring when they saw the wounded man. They avoided him, but not the Samaritan. He helped him. Stranger. Total strangers. And that's why Jesus told the story. Because we're to help total strangers. And then, of course, in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, we have the great final judgment scene. And in that scene, we're told and we're taught that the Lord says, I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. They said, when did we see you this way? He said, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. We are our brother's keeper. When our brother is sick, we're to go visit him. When he is doesn't have clothes, we're to go help him to find clothes. We are now presently sending funds to children in Africa to help them. We're trying to help them. We've sent food and money for food to lepers in India. Why are we doing that? We're our brother's keeper. We have also sent aid to those on the Gulf Coast in the United States when there was a hurricane down there. Why did we do that? We're our brother's keeper. Cain did not consider himself responsible for his brother. He didn't care at all about him. But he was wrong. We are on this earth to show our love for our fellow brethren, fellow man. We're to show love and we're to show concern and mercy and pity. And we're to help people. We're to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those that are in prison. We're here to help other people. That's recorded all through the Bible. What is pure religion and undefiled before God the Father? It's to visit the fatherless and the widows in the time of their affliction and to remain unspotted from the world. Christians should understand this. This is important. And this is why we have studied this subject today. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Yes, you are, and we need to continue to help keep our brethren. I want to thank you for tuning in today and studying this great question of the Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are our brother's keeper, and we need to be kind and gracious and do good things to others because that's our responsibility that God has given to us. I want to say thank you for tuning in today and listening to the Bible study and being a part of it. Continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network. Listen to the singing. Listen to the Bible lessons. Grow closer to God, and I hope to see you one day in heaven. Bye for now.